I was reading this morning, and the Lord told me to read it to you all. And after being in this service thus far, I really feel like it's going to minister to somebody here. So please listen what the Lord has to say. Morning by morning, I awaken you and open your understanding to my will. I'm always mindful of you, beloved. I never sleep, so I'm able to watch over you while you're sleeping. When you awake in the morning, I am still with you. As you become aware of my loving presence, I help you become more alert, smoothing out the tangles in your mind and enabling you to see me more clearly. I invite you to spend time enjoying my presence and nourishing your soul with my word. When you respond to my love call by drawing near to me, I am delighted. This time dedicated to me blesses and strengthens you immensely. I open your understanding to my word, enabling you to comprehend scripture and apply it to your life. As you make plans for your day, I help you discern my will. This collaboration with me empowers you to handle whatever comes your way as you go through your day. I am training you to trust me at all times, in all circumstances.
Amen. 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 Stay up here with me, honey. Well, come down here. We want to pray for Mary and Herman. Tomorrow she's having her baby, tomorrow morning. So I'd like you to, amen. Here, come over here. Come in the middle here. You're the center of attention. So why don't you just stretch your hands out toward her as she gets ready to have this baby tomorrow. Father, we thank you and we love you for the gift of life. And we pray over our sister today, God, that, Lord, that tomorrow, Lord, first off, there's just no fear. Lord, that your perfect love would just engulf this couple, Father. That, Lord, as they go in and this little baby comes forth, that, Lord, we just thank you for the gift of life. And we pray that everything goes smoothly. That, Lord, there'd be no issues, Father God. But, Lord, that this baby would just come out strong and healthy with a cry, Lord, and a shout. And, Lord, that your healing over Mary would come quickly, Father, that you would raise her back up again, God, and strengthen her and encourage her, Father. Lord, you are the God that supplies all that we have need of. And I pray that the supplier would meet them tomorrow, God, with all that they have need of. And, Father, that you would just touch her, Lord, and be with the doctors, Lord, as this baby comes forth. And we thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in this couple, Lord. And we give you praise today for the wonderful birth that's happening tomorrow, and that this baby is going to shine and it's going to be a light to the world, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to be a girl, right?
Yeah.
Did you pick out a name?
Nicole.
Wow, praise God. That's beautiful. All right. What time?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock tomorrow morning out in Riverside, right?
Yeah.
All right. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys.
Thank you.
It's going to be wonderful. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Are you ready for the word? All right. We're still talking about push. Pray until something happens. Amen. Keep praying. We've been having our prayer meetings every week. Pastor Rob and Terry do it on Thursday at their home. We do it in the sanctuary on Friday night at 7. We have a prayer meeting on Saturday night at 6 in the foyer. And Rainey has a prayer meeting at 10 on Tuesdays. So, you know, you can get involved in the life of prayer, because there's something for everybody's schedule so that you can come together, because corporate prayer moves mountains. Amen. Any two agree on any one thing, it shall be done. Amen. So why don't we stand this morning and let's read the scripture out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper." And Father, as we're here today, believing and trusting in you, God, we believe that, Lord, that we are going to prosper in all things, Lord, even as the word declares, prosper in all things and be in health, just as our soul prospers. So, Father, as your word comes into our hearts today, Lord, that we would break out of where we've been. Father, that we would trust you with our heart, our soul, and our mind, God, and that you'd have your way in our lives. I thank you today, Father, for what you're doing in us, in each one of us, and what you're going to do. So, Lord, that we don't leave here the same that we came in today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. So, pray until something happens, amen. When you do that, God is going to move on your life. Now, when Jehoshaphat prayed, God responded, amen. When he humbled himself, God responded. God heard his cry in the hearts of all the people, and God responded with a prophet speaking to them. So the thing about getting a prophetic word is hearing it, listening to it, writing it down, praying over it, you know, then acting upon it. I've seen so many people get prophetic words, and they get a prophetic word, and they get all excited, and they do nothing with that word. I told some lady came to me one day, she says, oh, I'm so excited, we have a prophet coming, you know, like we always bring in John Harkey to minister and stuff. And she said, I can't wait to get a word. I said, this is the word of the Lord to you. Start doing what he's already told you, and then he'll give you another word. Because we want, we want, we want. But when are we going to do, amen? When are we going to start acting on what God has already said? Amen? You know, if God is going to speak to you, you either go with it or you reject it. That's how prophetic works. So you need to also know who's ministering to you, to the prophet that's ministering to you. You don't just get a word from fly-by-night people. I want prophets that have fruit, amen, that they're producing fruit in their lives. I want a prophet that is not mean-spirited. I don't like mean-spirited prophets. I remember I went to interview this guy that wanted to speak at our men's retreat. They some guys wanted him to speak at our men's retreat, so I went to lunch with him. I said, what's your weirdness? And he goes, what do you mean? He said, all you prophets are weird. He started getting offended. And then he hesitated and he thought about it. He goes, I know what you're talking about. He said, I had a lady once come to a conference and spoke. And what she did is she would wrap the women up in a blanket and pull it like she was starting a motor. And the women would spin around and fall on the ground, and then she'd have a word for them. I said, yeah, that ain't going to happen. And he told me, he says, I prophesy the word of the Lord over people. He says, I get scriptures for people and I give them scriptures. I said, you, we can have. And that brother has since gone to be with Jesus, but he was a wonderful man of God. John Harkey, I trust. Pat Sparrow, I trust. You know, these are men that are producing fruit in their lives. They have a tender spirit towards the Lord and towards people. And that's what I like to see when we bring in a prophet, amen? That somebody's going to prophesy to us. There should be good fruit in their life, amen? So, as you're looking at, for the key of having what God wants us to do, to responding to the prophetic word, God's deliverance, number one, requires action. Everybody say action. On our part, action is based on faith in the word that God has sent. So the word that God sends, number one, we need to act upon it. Amen. Whether it comes to us through a prophet, it comes to us through reading the word of God, or it comes to us through a small, still voice. Now, Jehoshaphat, he recognized God. He remembered God. He stood upon God's word. He humbled himself and he trusted God in front of all the people. Now, after all this, if Jehoshaphat would have just went home, nothing would have happened. See, if Jehoshaphat hadn't acted on what the prophet said, remember, to go to, I can't remember that scripture, to go to Ziz, before the brook, you need to go there because that's where the people are. You need to go there and you need to see. That's what the prophet said. Now, if Jehoshaphat would have said, yeah, I don't feel safe doing that, I'm going to go home, then they would have got overrun. They would have never seen the victory that God had for him. See, if you want to see the victory in your life, you need to start responding to God's voice. Amen? You need to start responding to God's word. Robert came up here and he talked about responding to God in giving. You know, we need to respond to that. We all want the blessing, but the blessing you got to give. Amen? You've got to learn to sow seed into the kingdom of God. And God says he'll open up the windows of heaven to you. Thank you, Delonda. One amen. So, you got to look at, okay, if I'm going to respond to God, how am I hearing from God? I hear from God through the Word of God, reading it. I read it, and then I see it, and then when I see it, I get transformed. I hear God speak to me. When God speaks to me, I respond to it. When I have a prophet speak to me, I listen to it, and I listen to it. I'll write it down. I'll type it out. I'll pray over it, and I'll see how God wants to do it in my life, and I respond to it. Amen? I don't want to just be a fly-by-night God. You know, I've heard people say, oh, we don't record prophetic words. Like when I got my license, I got interviewed, and they said, do you record prophetic words? Well, because if God's going to speak to me, I want to pay attention. If I'm going to bring in somebody that's prophetic, I'm going to pay attention to what God's telling me, amen? I don't want to just let it go by, oh, well, that was so neat. Did you hear what God said about me? Who cares if you don't do anything with it? When I read my word, it's transformational. He's changing my life every day. I've read through this so many times, but every day as I'm reading it right now, I'm like, oh, my gosh, God's changing me. He is transforming my life because I'm reading it again and I'm capturing things that I didn't see before. So when I do get a prophetic word, I run it through the filter of the Word of God. Amen. When God speaks to me, if it doesn't line up with the Word, then it's not God. See, like God's not going to tell me, oh, you should divorce your wife. If I hear that in my head, divorce your wife, I'm going to say, get away from me, devil. Because God what? He hates what? He hates divorce, so he's not going to tell me to divorce her. He's going to tell me to fix her. No, I'm just kidding. It's my turn. Remember that part of our prayer time is standing upon the Word of God. And that doesn't mean putting it on the floor and stand on it. It means that you open up the Word of God and you stand upon what it says. That your life is driven by what the Word of God says. That you stand on the Word, amen? So we have to get the Word of God in you. You've got to read it every day. If you're not reading the Word of God every day, you're not growing. You're going to get stuck. I'm telling you that right now. If you're not into the Word, if you're not going through it, you're going to get stuck. I don't care if you read 5 verses, 1 verse, 10 verses, 3 chapters. It doesn't matter. If you're not in the Word of God every day, your life is going to get stuck in a mode that you're going to think, well, I can do this alone. We need God, amen? We humble ourselves before Him. We need Him. You know, and as we talked last week about hearing the voice of God, what you hear should be in line with the Word. If it's derogatory, throw it out. Let me give you, and then, you know, once you get the Word in you, then you need to respond to the Word. Very simply, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. We have no right to hate. When you came to Jesus, you gave up your right to hate people. Now, there may be people that have wronged you, may have people that jacked you up, may have been people that just totally tried to destroy your life, but you still have no right when you come to Jesus to continue to hate. See, because if you hate your brother, the love of God is not in you. See, so we have to forgive. Amen? Otherwise, the love of God is not in us. And so, I mean, this is the Word of God. I put another example. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I watched that video today of them kids, them 8 kids. I told Delana, I got to go. She's like, what do you mean? I said, I got to go over there. I go, I got to fill up some suitcases. I got to just take some stuff over there. I just need to go see those 8 kids. And she's like, well, I'll go with you. We can bring 4 suitcases. And she goes, better yet, this is her heart, better yet, if we took the money that would buy me a ticket And we went there with that money when we could buy them more. Like we could buy them all bicycles. CC's willing to sacrifice to help. See, when it says go into all the world, that's what we need to be thinking. How can we go to all the world? See, when we say we want to saturate Corona with the gospel, where should you be on Friday night, March 8th? Not everybody believes that yet, but you need to be here. Listen, how many of you got two hands? One and a half, that works. You can hold it with one and shove it in with the other. Even if one hand don't work, maybe you can just put it on the bag and stuff it, you know? March 8th, 6 o'clock. See, that's part of the going. It takes all parts, amen? You say, I can't walk around. I've had people say, I can't walk around the city. Well, come March 8th, you don't have to walk anywhere except into that fellowship hall and stuff some bags, amen? 10,000 of them. But if all of us go there, it just takes an hour or two, you know? And we'll even buy you some pizza or something that night. So you can't say, well, I got to eat dinner and, you know, I get home and just come. I don't care how dirty you are, whatever. You just stuff in bags. We'll set you in the corner if you stink, you know. But it's, you know, it tells us to go, and when we have opportunity to go, we need to go, amen? You know, and maybe you know, I know people, they don't want to go where I go, but they've helped me to go where I go. Amen? People have given me money. I remember sitting with a couple one day, and we talked for a bit, and then she pulled out the checkbook, and I'm like, you don't pay for this. This is what I do. I just, you know, I'm the pastor. We meet, we talk. You don't pay for that. She goes, no, the Lord told me to buy you a ticket to Pakistan. She's like, I hate that you go to Pakistan. I said, but yet you're buying me a ticket. Because she was being obedient in her part of going to Pakistan. So that couple gets credit for all them people that got saved on that trip. When we sow, right, Pastor Jesse? Amen. See, so you've got to look at the Word of God, and then you've got to start applying it to your lives. You know, it says, pray for those who persecute you. That's tough. I know I've talked to a lot of Arabic people, and the hardest thing for them is to minister to the Muslims. Because in their country, you know, we got people in our church on Sunday night that are from Egypt, they're from Syria, they're from Jordan, you know, and you know the Christians have been persecuted in those countries. But yet they're the ones that are saying, hey, we need to reach the Arabic people of our community, Pastor. How can we do it together? We're going to saturate Corona with the gospel. Amen. And then we're going to have a hope festival and bring them all here. We need to act on the word of the Lord in our lives. You can't just keep sitting on it and thinking about it, thinking, well, that would be neat. No, start doing, amen? Start doing. You can do it. Everybody say, I can do it. Now, Jehoshaphat, he could have believed on his own, but he had to get the whole crowd behind him. I can't do this alone. I need all of you. I can't hit 10,000 homes by myself. If we're going to saturate Corona, we need everybody to get involved in the life of the church. And that day, Jehoshaphat standing there, and he's got this army against him, and he needs the host of Israel to come together to act upon what God has said. And that's us. We need to act upon what God is saying. You can say, well, God didn't tell me to do saturate Corona. Yes, he did. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is your world. I can't walk that far. Well, you can stuff them. I've seen y'all raise your hands. Takes many parts to make it work, amen? It's one thing for you to believe, but you also want your family to believe. It's one thing for me to believe, but I want you to believe too. Jehoshaphat had to convince the people that God was for them. He said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. So he said, and the word believe means to be firm, to be stable, established. Also, to be firmly persuaded, To be solidly, to believe solidly. It means to believe, to consider trustworthy. And this is the word used in Genesis 15:6 when Abraham believed the Lord and did what he told him to do. That's what believe means. We need to believe. And it can also be translated, be established in the Lord. And you'll be established. Because that when it says in there, that it says, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. That word established in the Hebrew is the same word as believe. They're using the same word. So what he's saying three times in that scripture is to believe. Everybody say believe. So it can also be amen. Amen, which conveys the idea that it's solidly, firmly, and surely true and verified and established. And that's what we want to get to with the word, that you know it is verified, it is established, that you believe it to the point that you're acting upon everything that you read. You take it into heart and you do it. So he's driving the point home with them to believe. And I want to encourage you today to believe. Can I hear an amen? Believe. And he also says, believe the prophets and you'll prosper. How many of you want to prosper? Let me tell you what that word prosper means. It means to push forward. To push. Everybody say push. To push forward. To break out from where you are. That's what it means. When we start trusting the prophetic word that comes to us through this, through the prophets, and we start trusting it, we're pushing forward. We're going to break out from where we've been. You won't be stuck. You won't be confused. You're going to break out. You're going to break into what God has for you. You're not going to just be kicking back and saying, oh, I don't know. You're going to know. You're going to get a knowing in you. And so this is where we need to push. We need to break out. We need to act on the word of God. And as we're acting on the word of God, listen, God's deliverance, number two, will take us out of our comfort zone. Hey, some of this stuff that I'm telling you to do, I know it's not easy because I've been in your seat. I've been with Priscilla when she take me to people's home to visit, first time visitor. I'd be like, oh God, I'm going to throw up. I was so nervous. I was so scared to go. But I got out of my comfort zone and I went and I did what God was telling me to do. I started going with her and visiting people. And it may make you uncomfortable at first to step out and do the word of God. I remember in Peru, I was in Peru, and I met the superintendent of the Assemblies of God. I said, I just want to meet him. And I went to his first meeting that he was having with all the national leaders for the Assemblies of God in Peru. There's about 300 pastors there. I walked in, and I met him and stuff, and he looked at me, and he goes, okay, he says, I'm going to give you 1 hour to speak. And then I want you to pray for everybody, so I'll give you an hour and a half. I'm like, when? He goes, right now, I'm going to go introduce you. I'm like, oh, snap. Okay. I looked at Pastor Otto and said, here we go. And man, God moved so powerfully that they've invited us to come back this October for the 100-year celebration of the Assemblies of God in the jungles of Peru to minister. Yeah. Lana's so excited. She's like, I'm going on that one. But the years I've been in ministry, I've seen so many people sit on things that God has told them. I can remember one time that I heard the Lord tell me to start a food ministry here. Now, at the time he told me, I worked at the church full time, and I had an injection mold making company full time. So I had two full time jobs, and I went to school. And I had a family. And God's telling me, I want you to start a food ministry. And I'm like, okay, God, bring me that person. Bring me that person. And I prayed for a year for that person to come. And finally, this lady comes up to me and she goes, hey, Pastor Ron, I'm thinking that I'd like to start a food ministry here. I'm like, oh, thank God. She's like, yeah, the Lord's been talking to me for a year about it. I'm like, man, you should have come a year ago. But hey, I have everything planned out. It's ready to go. All I needed was somebody to do it. And we started. And it's still going on almost 20 years later. And it's still feeding people. We had 70 people here on Friday that God was touching. Amen. You know, because somebody stepped up and said, I feel like God is telling me to do this. God has been speaking to me about that. So when God is speaking to you, you've got to do what? You've got to act upon what God is telling you. As you're acting upon what he's telling you, it's amazing what he'll do through you. Now, none of those people are even here that started that. But when God is doing a work, it just keeps going. Amen? It just keeps running. And that's what we want to do. We want to establish what God is saying to do. And it'll happen. We used to do Sunday school here, and we had these trailers out here before, and we were doing an adult Sunday school class, and I asked this lady, I said, would you open in prayer? And she said, no. I'm like, really? She's like, no. I said, okay. So I asked her for a year, every Sunday, would you open in prayer? No. For a year. And finally, one day she said, okay. And she prayed. She opened up in prayer. And then we came into the second service, and she was on the worship team, and she taps the worship pastor. She says, I have a prophetic word, and she prophesied to the whole congregation. And I believe it's because she stepped into what God was saying, and she broke out of where she was. And that's what we need to do. We need to break out, amen? We need to get into where God is calling us to. But when you allow yourself to step out of your comfort zone, it's amazing what God can do in you and through you. But it is uncomfortable at first. It will challenge you. I've been in places where they... You know what really challenges me is a clock. You know, they say you have... I was in one place, and we had 1,500 people there, and they said you have 30 minutes, and you have to do a salvation call. I'm like, okay. Because it's translated, so I got 15 minutes. Preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, anybody here need to get saved? About 15 people got saved. I said, anybody want to get filled with the Holy Spirit? About 1,300 people ran to the altar to get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. And it was incredible. We have a team of 20 people running through there, laying hands on them and everything. It's incredible. But, you know, when you get up in front of that many people and you're not used to those kind of crowds, it's just, it takes you out of your comfort zone. But you still trust God. If God's calling you to it, he'll bring you through it. Amen? He'll equip you. And as we prayed, I remember I was so sick that day. I had a fever because of food poisoning. And I was jacked up that day. And after 50 minutes, they gave me 30. I sat down at 50 minutes. And people were still down there crying out to God, being filled with the Spirit. Remember John Snyder? He's like, come on, Pastor, get back in the game. I said, man, they gave me 30 minutes, and it's 50 minutes now. And they're like, he's like, didn't they know who they were inviting? I'm like, I don't know, but, you know, let God do it. You know, and that's what you got to do. You got to be willing to be uncomfortable because it's not always easy. It's not always easy to open your mouth and tell somebody about Jesus. But, you know, in the end, God will say, I gave you opportunity, and you didn't do it. I gave you the opportunity. I brought people to you, and you were too embarrassed. How are we going to respond to that? How are we going to, man, I can't even imagine God saying, I brought people to you, but you didn't open your mouth. Maybe I'm talking to you right now. But James, well, I put here in my notes, faith without action is not enough. Just to have faith, it's not enough. You have to have action to your faith. Because listen to James 2:20 out of the Message. It says, do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that. But what good does it do them? Use your head. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse on your hands? Faith and works go together. You can't just have faith and no works. You can't have works without faith. He says, when you separate the two, it's like you're cutting somebody in half and producing a corpse. Faith without works is dead. It's crazy. It's a powerful scripture. Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but observe you complacently sitting back as if you've done something wonderful? See, just giving your life to Jesus is just the start. God is calling you to get out of your comfort zone. And as you move out of your comfort zone, number three, God's deliverance takes faith. It does take faith. Hebrews 11:6, it says, it's impossible. Everybody say impossible. Impossible. To please God without faith. You have to have faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Amen? God didn't tell Jehoshaphat, go home and relax. I got this. I'll take care of it. I'll see you later. God said, I want you to get your team, and I want you to go out, and we're going to confront the enemy together. But you don't need to fight, because I'm going to do the fighting. But I want you to stand still, and I want you to see what I'm doing. Action on our part is getting involved. Getting involved in what God is saying. All the blessings that we get comes through God in faith. Amen? Everything comes from God. And so we need to start putting action to it. It's that simple. Act on what you hear. Amen? Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by His grace when you believed. Everybody say believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. You can't talk your way into faith. You can't say, you know, we sing that song, you know, I'm going to sing it more and more, and hopefully, you know, it grows in you. But if you stood around and said, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith, it doesn't mean your faith is going to grow. You can say it as much as you want, but until you start acting on it, then you've got faith. See, because faith produces action. And that's what we want to get to, that our faith is producing action in our lives. That we're acting upon the Word of God, not just saying it. Because you can talk about it until Jesus comes, and your faith is not going to grow at all. So how do you get faith? Action. What does the Word say? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? So you got to be in the Word to grow your faith, amen? And when you're in the Word, you act upon the Word, and your faith just starts growing. See, but if you don't read the Word, you got nothing to act upon, and you're not growing. And things, you'll be coming to me a year from now going, wow, Pastor, you know, things are just the same as they were a year ago. I don't know why I'm not growing. I remember Dawn and I doing marriage counseling, and they're like, yeah, our marriage is just not getting any better. And I said, how much do you read your Word? And he looked at his wife and he goes, I told you he was going to ask that. Because I know what worked for me. I know it changed my life. I read the Word. I get into the Word. And it changed me, Pastor Jesse. I used to think my wife was crazy, but when I started reading the Word, I found out I was. You're still crazy, though. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. You know, and we're all given the same measure of faith. I was looking for them today. I had some mustard seeds somewhere. I got a jar of them somewhere. If you have them, please give them back. I can't find them. But, you know, the mustard seed is about that big. Can you see that? Zoom in on me, Mike. It's that big. Mustard seed. I can see you. That's how big a mustard seed is. And he says, you're all given that faith. We're all given the same measure. But the thing of it is, what do you do with the seed? You plant it. And when you plant that seed and you water it, that seed begins to grow. And a mustard tree gets so big and it's so strong and it just spans out and provides great shade. See, but if you don't plant it and if you don't water it, Joe, it's not going to go. And the way you water your mustard seed is through situations of life. You know, how you respond to the things of the life is going to cause your faith to grow. And as I'm reading the Word of God and I respond as according to what the Word tells me to do, like I love that person that hates me, my faith grows. But when I get in, you know, when I know that somebody doesn't like me and I just say, well, I don't like you either. I just sucked up all the water out of the seed. We have to respond with the Word of God. And as we do that, it's amazing how your faith just starts blossoming. And then, you know, somebody comes to you and says, I have a headache. And you say, well, let me pray for you. And you pray, oh, Father, just touch that head today in the name of Jesus. And they're like, wow, it's better. And you're like, huh? And somebody comes to you and says, hey, I got a dead limb. And you say, oh, well, God healed that headache. Maybe he'll heal your limb too, huh? And we pray for that. And God says, oh, and the dead leg gets better. And they start walking and you start going, oh, wow, if God could do that, hey, maybe I could pray for this and I could pray for that. And that tumor will be gone and the dead are going to raise. Your faith starts growing and you start excelling in the things of God. But if you just go, oh, I'm so sorry you got a headache. Can I get you some aspirin? There ain't no faith in that aspirin. Well, the faith is in the aspirin, not in Jesus. So if I want to water my faith, I've got to act on it. I've got to do it. I've got to step up and say, I believe in the Word of God. And this is what it says. And when we step outside of our comfort zone and we start doing it, it's amazing what God will do. I know Pastor Jesse and I, we've been on a lot of places together. We've seen God do some amazing things. We've seen amazing things right here at home. First demons I ever cast out, man, right here in this sanctuary. Demon-possessed people coming in, yeah. I remember one day we were worshiping Nydia, and at the end of worship, I wasn't the senior pastor. This girl comes up to me and she goes, hey, this lady wants to give her life to Jesus. I said, okay, take her in the back over there and I'll go around and I'll meet you there. And I walk up to the lady and she's over here in the back and I said, so you want to give your life to Jesus? And she started screaming bloody murder. I'm like, oh, shoot. And I turned around and I looked at the lady and she goes, I'd start praying in tongues if I were you. I'm like, what? I thought she wanted to get saved. I didn't know she needed deliverance too. A few minutes later, you know, we cast the devil out. She prayed. She gave her life to Jesus. And she's sitting there in her right mind. She said, what just happened? I said, well, you had some company from the devil, but we've cast it out now. Now you've given your life to Jesus. So now I would tell you to get to know Jesus in a supernatural way. Get to know Jesus in a supernatural way. How you respond to situations is what causes that seed of faith to grow. Think about the situations of life right now you're in. Is it relationships? Is it your finances? How are you responding? Robert, when I was younger, I thought, man, I can't afford to give to God. Oh, my gosh, I can't afford this. It takes too much money to make our world go around. I can't afford to give to God. And I told Delonda the other day how much we give every month. And I was so excited to tell her because, man, it is so far away from where I started out, so far away from where I begun. I'm just so excited about it. I'm acting on what God has said. And as I'm acting upon the Word of God in faith, number four, our belief should cause us to act on the Word. Stepping out into action is what God wants from you. He wants you to act upon His Word, amen? Act on the Word of God. What you read, do. Everybody say, do. Last week, remember I said, living in constant fear is living in hell. When we live in fear of doing the things of God, we're going to be tormented. Your mind is going to feel guilty, you're going to feel shame, you know, people are going to come to you and you're going to have the answer, which is Jesus. You're going to have the answer, which is the healing power of God, and you're going to offer them an aspirin, or you're going to say, hey, maybe you should go talk to somebody instead of just giving them Jesus. And then they're going to walk away and you're going to feel guilty and you're going to feel shame because that's what the enemy does to us. And we got to learn to not give in to that, but to stand upon the Word of God. Amen? Don't let fear control your life. Let faith lead your life. Let your faith grow this year. The Lord will lead you to the promises of God. And they'll become yes and amen to you as you step into them. Do you want to end up as a corpse? As that scripture in James 2:20 says? Do you want to be a corpse? Or do you want the victory? I want the victory. We have to start getting into the position for the Holy Spirit to move through us. Now I know, I look around this room right now, and I know things happen in life. I know things happen that shouldn't happen. And it's tough sometimes. But as we're trusting in God, we can move forward. It's time for each person to push, to pray until something happens. We need to push like never before. There's only one power in the world that cannot be shaken, and that is the power of the Word of God. It cannot be shaken. Fix your mind on the Word of God and don't be moved by what the world says. Write these two words down. Everybody, write them down. Take a picture of them. They're coming up on the screen. Take a picture of the screen. Do whatever you got to do. But get these words in your spirit today. Number one, infallible. Meaning no margin for error. There's no margin for error in infallible. Number two, impregnable. Meaning it's impossible to be taken by assault. Okay, impossible to be taken by assault. The Word of God is infallible. There is no error in the Word of God. Amen. That means the Word will never fail you. The Word of God makes you impregnable in the sense that it's impossible for you to be taken by assault because the Word of God is impregnable. It means the devil can throw anything and everything at you, but you cannot be taken because your faith has been fixed on God. Amen. And on the Word of God. It's like this. Don't ever let anyone tell you that it's God's will for you to be sick or afflicted. Because that's so contrary to the Word of God. And don't ever believe in your head, well, I'm going through this because God wants me to. No, He does not. You're going through this because you live in a fallen world and the enemy's attacking you. And as you fix your eyes upon the Word of God in Jesus, that devil's going to get off. You got to know that. I'm so confident in that. Don't ever think that you're suffering for the sake of Jesus. Jesus suffered once and for all for all of us. What we're going through has nothing to do with what He needs to do. It's already been done. Amen. He doesn't say, hey, you suffer for a little while and then maybe I'll heal you. He doesn't say that. The devil says, hey, let me see if I can rock what they believe. What do you say? How are you responding? Is the devil rocking you right now? Nydia, you want to come back? When Jehaziel came in the spirit of prophecy, he told them what to do. And they believed and acted upon it. Told them what to do, and they did it. We need, number one, we need more Jehaziels in the world to stand up and prophesy. There's some of you that are in this church, and you've been sitting on those prophetic words that God's given to you. You wait so long that time passes when you should have given it. And then you come up afterwards and you say, oh, I had a word. Maybe you did have a word, and maybe God wanted to move through you. And that's when you need to stand up and say, I have a word, Pastor. Can I give it? Stop sitting on what God is saying to you. Stop waiting and wondering. See, because we wonder so long that it just passes. And you're like, oh, they're doing something else now. No, it's... is gone. We need more Jehaziels to stand up and say what God is saying. Pastor Jesse will do it. Pastor Rob will do it. Pastor Rob got up today, told you to dance. Man, I don't know how to dance, but man, I can wave my arms, stomp my feet. I can jump up and down. Amen. Take it back. Amen. Take it back. Number two, we need more people like Jehoshaphat to respond to what God is saying. Remember, if you just believe in Jesus and sit here, the Word of God declares you're like a corpse. You got to do something with it. You know, I get so blessed on Fridays. Turn that thing off or something, honey. You don't know. Oh, she needs it. No, she's got one. We all got one. I come on Fridays. Mario, kill number four of the guitar. It's the guitar. Kill the guitar. But I come on Fridays. And I see Esperanza, and I see Socorro, and I see Gloria out there. I see Bob, I see Yolanda, I see Priscilla, I see so many people that come on Fridays. Socorro's a beast, man. She picks up them boxes, and she throws stuff, and she moves, and she is such a doer. They're out there serving and getting food ready for all the people that are in there getting ministered to. They go all the time. Pastor Jesse gets up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock every Saturday and goes and picks up at Albertson's here in Corona, picks up food so that when you leave here on Sunday, you can go to room 4 and you can pick up a bag of food today. Bear goes every Saturday and gets food at the Vons out in Riverside. So that when you leave this place, you can come. See, there's people that are saying, I want to act upon what God is saying, what God is doing in my life. And they're responding and they're doing amazing things for Jesus. And you say, is it amazing that Pastor Jesse goes and gets food at Albertson's? I think it's pretty darn amazing. I think that Gloria back there, Gloria is retired. And that lady, oh my gosh, she does so much for this church. She drives that van and she goes and gets food 3 times a week. Esperanza goes and she takes food to a senior center on Tuesdays so that she can minister to the seniors there. People in this house are doing amazing things. And I believe God is calling you out today to start responding to Him. You've been sitting on it too long. It's time. We need more people like Jehoshaphat to obey the word of the Lord. So here we are today, February 24th, 2019. We've been talking about prayer for weeks. Push. Pray until something happens. As we pray, we recognize God. We remember God, what He's done. We stand upon the word of God. Humble ourselves before Him, we trust Him, and we put our faith to action. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before You today. Lord, You're challenging us out of Your word today. I don't want to be a corpse, God. I don't want to be the guy that says he has faith and then does nothing with it. I don't want to separate faith from works. I want them tied together, Lord, my life. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I do too. I want faith and works in my life to be tied together. I want to be a part of what God is saying to do. I want to act upon the Word of God. From this day forward, you say, I make a commitment to start acting on what God is saying. If that's you today, I want you to just stand up. You're saying, I'm going to start acting upon it. Just stand up. I don't care where you've been, how much you've already done. But you're saying, from this day forward, I'm going to respond to what God is saying. Just stand to your feet right now. Amen. Father, you see all these people before you. Lord, we're standing because we're committing to you. Lord, that we're going to be doers of the word, not just hearers. We will not be a corpse, God. We will not separate faith and works. We know that they go together. I pray, Father God, that for every person that you strengthen them today, Lord, to the good works of faith. That, Lord, your word would come up so alive inside of each one of us. That, Lord, that we do it. We do it. Let it flow in us, God. Yeah. I pray, God, that all fear would be gone. That we not be afraid. Even as we heard testimony from Jeanette about inviting all of her co-workers to come. Lord, let us be so bold. Let us all be so bold to act upon your word. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. Come on, Nidhi, bring it up.
My heart will sing your unfailing love. And even if the drum stops beating, my soul will keep on singing even louder. Even louder. And even when my eyes can't see it, I'll sing till I believe it. Even louder. Even louder.
Good morning, everybody. I just felt the Lord speaking to me tonight, this morning, to share a dream I had about a year ago. And it had to do with fear. And in that dream, I was in a crowd of people, and everybody was looking up to the heavens. And I didn't see what they were looking at. But when I moved closer, we were underneath a roof. And when I moved out and to look up, there was a big cloud of storm coming. And in that moment, I felt the fear in the atmosphere. It was so thick that I felt it from everybody. And in that moment, I started to dance when he said to dance. That's what I was thinking. And I started to dance and I started to rejoice. And everybody turned and looked at me and thought I was crazy. And I started to sing a song, and that song was, God is here, God is here. God is here, he is faithful. And when I started to sing and jump and dance, the atmosphere changed. The fear started to move out. People started to rejoice. People started to break out of that fear and walk in what God was placing in them. You have the authority, for God is in you. You have the authority to speak fear out of your life, to speak fear out of your house, to speak fear out of every circumstances in your life, and to praise him and to know that he is with you. Amen. So speak fear out of your life. Know God is with you. Praise him in that storm, and he will break through. Praise him. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. God is here. We do just take authority of fear today. Lord, I pray that your love would just fill our hearts today.
Yeah. Your perfect love cast out all fear. All fear be gone in the name of Jesus. I pray for power, love, and a sound mind over every person here today. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand. Listen, if you're here for the first time, go on out to that corner over there in the foyer and see Jeanette for a minute. Otherwise, don't run off. Take a minute, connect with somebody, encourage each other, have a coffee together, and just bless each other today. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.
Even if the drum stops beating, my soul.